Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, y'all niggas gonna let me do what I do. Let me do what I do, nigga. Don't grab me.
Shot-town, I hope y'all ready.
Grab them niggas.
NYC.
Been playing with them niggas.
LAP.
Got the most money in here.
Let's do it.
I need commas after my commas.
Woo!
Commas after my commas.
Woo!
I need commas after my commas.
Uh-huh.
Commas after my commas.
Yeah.
We ain't talking no bands, nigga. We ain't talking no bands, nigga.
Yeah.
We ain't talking no bands, nigga. We ain't talking no bands.
Uh-huh.
I got commas after my commas.
Money.
Commas after my commas.
Money.
I got commas after my commas.
Money.
Commas after my commas.
Uh-huh.
We ain't talking no bands, nigga. We ain't talking no bands, nigga. We ain't talking no bands, nigga. We ain't talking no bands.
Money. I got Polo on my body, money. But I'm talking Ferrari, white girl in the party, Mary Jane, won't you be Molly? Couldn't feel no better, finished out of my sweater. Niggas say they cold, just a little bit under the weather. I mean, do the shit, yeah, leather,
what?
Get your shit together, gave you niggas some time. Now I got a vendetta, damn niggas is basic, but the champagne imported. Victims get arranged and then they get recorded. See them diamonds, they dance, nigga. Fucking up your plans, nigga. Feel like David Russell, cause we ain't talking no bands, nigga.
I need commas after my commas. Commas after my commas. I need commas after my commas. Commas after my commas. We ain't talking no bands, nigga. We ain't talking no bands, nigga. We ain't talking no bands, nigga. We ain't talking no bands. I got commas after my commas.
Money.
Commas after my commas.
Money.
I got commas after my commas.
Money.
Commas after my commas. We ain't talking no bands, nigga. We ain't talking no bands, nigga. We ain't talking no bands, nigga. We ain't talking no bands.
Pussy niggas, I hope you losing sleep. That old money still new to me. I take a shower with a sexy bra. I put $1,000 on a debit card. Birdman, let me hold $1 million. He gave it to me, didn't even ask for what. That's how we do, YMCMB. Checking niggas like an ID. Commas after my commas. Try me, nigga, that's trauma. Try pussy heads in my vomit. I'm the Don Amish. Me and them broke niggas, we ain't got nothing in common. I promise I never go broke, can never break that promise.
I need commas after my commas. Commas after my commas.
Yeah.
I need commas after my commas. Commas after my commas. We ain't talking no bands, nigga. We ain't talking no bands, nigga. We ain't talking no bands, nigga. We ain't talking no bands. I got commas after my commas.
Money.
Commas after my commas.
Money.
I got commas after my commas.
Money.
Commas after my commas. We ain't talking no bands, nigga. We ain't talking no bands, nigga. We ain't talking no bands, nigga. We ain't talking no bands.
Money.
I'm in the hood on defense. My Range Rover is a B10. Locked up in this county jail. Can't post bail, it's the weekend. Got a pretty little rib on it. Can't wait to shake my teeth in. Got guns, we got guns. Fucking niggas beefing. Yeah, boy, I got dumb moolah. Keep a couple of them young shooters. We the one we aiming them choppers at. My pockets fat like the young Luther. Can't afford this jewelry. Put that change towards for. Yeah, these bitches know I'm checking bags like airport security. I got commas after commas, all in that order. Why you niggas chasing bands like concert promoters?
I need commas after my commas, commas after my commas. I need commas after my commas, commas after my commas. We ain't talking no bands, nigga. We ain't talking no bands, nigga. We ain't talking no bands, nigga. We ain't talking no bands. I got commas after my commas.
Money.
Commas after my commas.
Money.
I got commas after my commas.
Money.
Commas after my commas. We ain't talking no bands, nigga. We ain't talking no bands, nigga. We ain't talking no bands, nigga. We ain't talking no bands.
Money.
DJ Disco.
Go boy.
DJ Disco.
Go boy.
DJ Disco. DJ Disco. DJ Disco.
Oh. Oh. Go boy.
Wobble, baby, wobble, yeah. Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, yeah. Wobble, baby, wobble.
I'm shaking it just like Congo, man. I'm shaking.
Blog Talk Radio.
On Time Home Repairs, where we are rehabilitating America's one home at a time, specializing in remodeling, full kitchens, and bathrooms. Also, a 24-hour emergency handyman service for electrical and plumbing issues. No job is too small. We do it all. All it takes is one call. 773-698-5720. Ask for LB.
What's up? This your boy Dennis Live. I got a question for you people. Are you tired of paying all that money on the monthly bills? Well, check it out. Look no further. Log on to westernworld1.com. That's www.westernworld1.com. And click on the Save Money program. We have a lot of products that you can save on, like gas bills, light bills, cell phone bills, security alarm systems, name brand satellite service. Then you got your global phones. I mean, we just got the whole deal, people, that you can just really save on. Log on, westernworld1.com. Or you can go to the Google Play Store and key search Western World 1. Space it out, Western, space, world, space, 1. And download the app. It's a free mobile app. Or you can go back to the website and get that too. It's free. All this stuff I'm giving you guys are free. There's nothing to go look it up. www.westernworld1.com. Click on Save Money Program and check out the products. I promise you, you will be amazed by some of the services that we do provide, that we are affiliated with. Other than that, that's what I'm here to do. Let's go. Let's go.
Hey, you, yeah, you. Are you bored? Are you just lonely? Are you just surfing the web or just on your Android phone, not doing nothing? Well, check it out. Look no further. Log on to www.westernworld1.com. That's westernworld1.com. And check out some of the hottest unsigned artists from all over the world. Again, that's www.westernworld1.com. That's westernworld1.com. Check them out. Log on. Let's go. Look and see what it is. You're not doing nothing. Get online. Look at that again. westernworld1.com. Let's go. We out.
Let's go.
Peace.
Let's go.
Peace.
Come on, people, we back in the building. Man. Okay, let me check my check. Make sure the mic is all good. Okay, man, today's topic, man. We're going to be talking about, let's see here, man. Today's show, man, we're going to be talking about the 13th Amendment and what side effects has it damaged to the 13% of African-American incarcerated people. Now, let me redo that. Today's show, we will be talking about the 13th Amendment and what side effects has it damaged to 13% of the African-American population incarcerated people. It made sense. I wear, man, without further ado, man. Man, y'all people, y'all know who this person is, man. I'm going to let y'all go ahead and listen to his voice and let him introduce himself. All right, man, but here is Charles Baxter, man.
Hey. Man, how's everybody go? Beautiful Sunday. How are you doing on this beautiful Sunday, brother? Hello?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
How are you doing on this beautiful Sunday?
I'm excellent, bro. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. I can't complain. You know, willing to go out here and enlighten the people, whether they want to hear it or not. Don't get mad at me. Get mad at the truth. Don't get mad at me. Get mad at the truth. Name of the show. Don't get mad at me. Get mad at the truth.
That's what you all be.
And that's what I'm on. Don't get mad at me. Don't take your frustrations out on me.
All right, well, let me ask you a couple questions, man.
Okay.
Okay, instead of going with the, you know, we're just going with LB, you know, saying though LB is like your, you know, so that's your stage name, that's your comedian name, that's your, you know, controversial name, and that's the name that you use on my show. What made you decide to do Charles Baxter?
To separate the comical side from the actual serious side, to let you understand that you are getting, when you're dealing with LB or Charles Baxter, you're getting a man who has many sides. And one of the sides that I want the people to understand and see is not just the comical side that looks at things in a third eye sense, but the man who has both his feet planted firmly on the ground and looking out, not trying to judge, but trying to understand, as well as teach understanding. So as I'm understanding, I'm teaching understanding. So that's what Charles Baxter brings to the table. I hate to say this. I talked to a fellow friend of mine who's a friend of yours, Gerard. And as I was talking to him, he gave me a sense of understanding when he talked to me. With now, I can take that understanding and give it to the masses, because he looked at it and don't look at it like this, look at it like that. And when he gave me that revelation, I couldn't do nothing but embrace it. I didn't look at that as a negative. I looked at what Brother Gerard told me as a positive, as something that, okay, yeah, you're right. Don't look at your friendship and then go behind your friend and gossip behind him, because he's not perfect. But you're not perfect either. There's certain things, characteristics, and things that somebody could say about you as well, which gave me a third eye to say, hey, you know what, you're very much so right. I couldn't get mad at that man for what that man told me. I can only get mad at that truth. So Charles Baxter brings to the table a truth, not a sense of truth, the truth.
Gotcha.
I'm not trying to bring to the table my opinion, but I'm trying to bring knowledge, wisdom, and understanding to the table. That's it.
Okay.
That's all Charles Baxter is trying to be.
Okay. So Charles Baxter is basically the truth. You know what I'm saying? Not saying that LB is a liar, but you know what I'm saying? You the comical truth when it's LB. But Charles Baxter is just bringing the real live. This is me, raw and uncut. This is who I am. Here you have it.
Correct.
Gotcha. All right, man. Without further ado, man, we're going to kick this show off, man. The 13th Amendment, bro. Okay.
What does it say? In black and white, what does it say?
In black and white, better yet, I'm going to let them tell you what it says. I got it from where what it tells you, what it means, and also, too, who are the people that make this effective. And also, too, I'm going to give you the limitations of it, which is the Congressman, the House of Representatives, the legislation. And with this bill here, man, this amendment here, it was like from, I think it was like years and years ago, man, they still going by this rule. And it was supposed to really consequence the... I don't even know what consequence meant. Let me take that back. It was really supposed to enforce to say the abolishment of black slavery to protect us. But in actuality, they put some clause in there saying that, yeah, we'll protect you, but only if you do certain things like if you go to jail, if you get incarcerated, they strip all your rights from you. So I'm gonna play this clip, man, and then I'm gonna play the limitations. All right, and then we gonna dissect all of it, and we gonna go into our thing.
Okay.
All right, let's go.
Section 1. Neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as a punishment for crime, whereof the party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction. Section 2. Congress shall have power to enforce this article by appropriate legislation.
The assumption of African Americans who saw this amendment was that this was the amendment that gave them equality, a road to citizenship, a road to equal suffrage, a road basically to a country where there would be no distinctions by color. Now, that said, because of the wording of the amendment, it did have limits. It was declarative only, didn't really give any rights because it doesn't give any explicit rights. So it leaves as an open question what rights are attached to freedom. Also, one other example of a limitation is it possesses a clause that says there is an exception to this. To this business of slavery not existing anymore. And the exception is, but for crimes whereby those who have been accused have been convicted. So that if you've been accused of a crime and convicted, you could have your freedom abridged or taken away. You could be treated as an involuntary servant. And that's what ends up happening in the late 1800s and early 1900s, well into the 20th century. Criminals are sometimes imprisoned. Their labor is treated as slave labor. They are leased out, sometimes in large groups, to private contractors or farms. They are even sometimes put in chains. And for the most part, these prisoners I'm talking about are African American. The most common crime would be non-payment of debts. And of course, many of these former slaves are in debt. And if they can't pay the debt, then they become criminals. Then they find themselves in chains in these places, and it looks an awful lot like slavery. And so you can understand the confusion and ultimately the great resentment that the very measure which a generation of African Americans assumed was their ticket to absolute equality and the end of these sorts of things could also be used to preserve a kind of slavery in this country.
You there?
Yes. Powerful. I wouldn't say a kind of slavery. It's either slavery or not. This, and I've said this before, and I say this again. The very thing that made America, America, was through slavery. Slavery is nothing but a form of labor, free labor, and that is what built America, was slavery. And please understand, there wasn't any other nationality that could kin America. They tried the Chinese. They even tried their own kind, the white. You have to understand the principle of why the white man even came over here and sought this land. The white man had been coming back and forth several times. The myth, the mere myth of Christopher Columbus finding America is a myth. He did not find it. He was lost in search for other lands. Stumbled upon America,
but you could not find anything that someone has already been living on. The thing of it is if you found something, even to this day, if I drop a dollar bill on the ground and someone comes along and picks it up, does it necessarily make it theirs? If I happen to see that dollar bill land on the ground and he picks it up, hold on, that's my dollar bill. That man, in all rights, has to put that dollar bill back down on that ground or hand it over. Unfortunately, that did not happen here in America. They were gangsters running from other gangsters. Came over here, which the Native Americans was already on here, over here. So what better way to make Native Americans seem like they are less than human? We will call them savages. Well, these same savages taught them how to hunt for food over here and to survive in a winter that they were unfamiliar to. So now that they're unfamiliar to these lands and they teach them how to survive, now they turn on them. But how do we build America up? How do we get it to the where it needs to be? Slavery. Slavery in our times now is no different from slavery then.
I'm glad you said that. The reason why I'm glad you said that is because now, even though when it was back then, it was still a business, and right now it's still a business. Just like how you broke it down. You said that, okay, if it's mine, and that dollar's on the ground is mine, so you have every right to, you know, talk about that dollar and do what that is. But now they got it to where, okay, how can you prove that's your dollar? It's the serial number, you don't need the name, you know, how can you do this? You see what I'm saying? So they automatically, that's controversy right there, automatically just created, because if a civilized person is like, hey, man, you dropped your dollar, or hey, man, yeah, I did see you drop that dollar, man, but I really need it. Can I have it? You had the option to say yes or no. So these are the things, man, that we have judged in our heads. And where I'm going with this is that with the 13th Amendment, it gives you a certain clause or a certain gratification. See, where people didn't understand. Yeah, it's supposed to abolish the slavery, but at the same time, they put the clause in there. It said neither slavery nor involuntary sovereignty, except as punishment for crime, whereof the party shall have been duty of convicted. Meaning that if you go to jail and you get convicted of something, you a slave. Now, where it really affected the black people is because that 13th Amendment started going into the fact of drug dealers, murderers, killers, rapists. But the main thing, you know, and I'm just saying going in depth, and that's in the crime. You do the crime, you do the time. You know what I'm saying? You did it on that day, you should pay. I understand all that. You know what I'm saying? Don't get me wrong. But we're going to go with something, drug dealers, right? We're going to go with something else. And what I want to do is I want to kind of go into the 13th Amendment of how it's really affecting African-American people, okay? And the way that I want to break it down is, matter of fact, before we break that down, did you have something else you want to say about the 13th Amendment? Charles?
I want to say that everything that you're saying is thus far on point. So I just want you to keep going with
okay.
where you're going with this so I can, you know, I'll fill in on
it. Gotcha. Okay, now where I'm going with this is we're going to do the drug dealers, all right, because that's the number one thing. The war on drugs, crack is on drugs, the epidemic is this. Don't you know when the legislators, not the legislators, when congressmen or people of election, when they're trying to be elected in the in electoral to be voted to be the president, to be whatever it is, they got to say these words. They say these words, man, America's war on drugs, or we got to fight these drugs and crack these drug dealers down and do whatever it is. Once you say them words, you automatically win. Because what is the epidemic in your neighborhood? If you're in the city of Chicago, South Side, West Side, what is it? What's the plague? Drugs, right? Wars, right? Crime, right? Okay, so if you get elected, if you elect me, I'm definitely going to try to put, enforce, here we go, here's the terminology. I'm going to enforce stronger laws. You get it? I'm going to enforce stronger laws to stop these drug dealers in your neighborhood, to stop these drug dealers in our neighborhood, to stop these. Now, what made me think about this was because I was watching this documentary, man, about a guy that made the Wire, the HBO, the Wire,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying? And it's called, I believe it's called My Neighbor Next Door or The Neighbor in My House or something like that, but I get it for you guys. What I'm trying to break down is, they actually turned that 13th Amendment to a business. Now, we got this average drug dealer, right? Okay. He goes in. He does his time. He's a slave now, right? Okay. Let's say he does his time, right? Now, he gets out. He might get on parole. If you're parole or parolee or probation, whatever, you're still a slave. You're a CO, confidential informant, you're still a slave. Now, let's say you did all that. You did your time. You ain't on parole no more. You feel like you're free. But you know what? By you having a record, a criminal record, you are still a slave to the state when they're supposed to abolish that. They're supposed to, what we call that, expunge, right?
Expunge.
Right. That's what it is, right? Because it expunges the records to where they can't use it no more and they can't use it against you. Now we got the drug dealer, and we say African American are made up 13% of the world, right? The other 89%
yes,
is Caucasians and brown people, meaning that Hispanics, Indians, Natives, whatever. You know what I'm saying? But we make up 13% of the population. Why is it that 90% of 13% is incarcerated? Because drugs, right? And drugs is like the number one thing that I want to say right now. Drugs, domestics, whatever, are the number one, two things. But we're going to stick with drugs. Now, I'm out here, I'm selling drugs. Yeah, okay, I do my time. Now I'm up under the 13th Amendment Act. Now when I did all my debt, everything, I paid my debt back to society, my stuff was being expunged. Why is it that now when I go fill out an application to go to work, now I don't give my time under the 13th Amendment Act in this institution, which we call another job, because they say you got to work for servitude or something like that again. If you can't pay
mm-hmm.
for it, you got to work as that, and you work and it's your payment back, paying your debt back to society for your wrongful doing. Now, I try to go fill out an application. I just say a little rinky-dink place. You know what I'm saying? A small fast food joint. I don't want to say no names. A small fast food joint. And I go fill out the application. They're going to ask me, have I ever been convicted of any felony? Yes or no? I got to put yes. I got to put yes on that. Because if I'm lying, I'm still going to, you know, I'm not going to get the job. If I tell the truth, I'm still not going to get the job. But since I'm under the 13th Amendment Act, I'm not on parole or on probation no more, that stuff should be expunged. So I should be able to say other. It should be yes, no, I don't want to talk about it. If it's a if so, please explain. You see what I'm saying? So now if you put on there my debt, I pay my debt back to society, my debt has been expunged. You explaining what's going on. You paid it back and what's going on. But the thing is this, you want to catch 22 because when you get out, most jail places are considered what? They call it low maximum security. It's called a rehabilitation center. A correctional center, right? So correctional means they're trying to correct the problem that you had did, right? if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
So my point in saying this is, if I'm coming out of jail, let's say I don't sell drugs no more, I don't do none of it, and I'm just going with the drug dealers, I don't sell drugs no more, how can I get a job? So now it's going to affect the 13% of the population. Now you got to look at the legislation, the House of Representatives, the congressmen. These are the people that makes the rules. The president has 10 days to pass a bill on some of these high crime punishments. And you need to look that up, too. See, how many bills did the president of the United States actually sign off on these type of bills? They even got something called the sentencing. Are you sentencing people? It's called the Sentencing Project, to where this is what they do. They come up, all these people come together, two parties come together and find out what kind of law should be punishment. Now, I'm going to break it down like this. Cocaine, right? Cocaine. And we got, what's the other one? Crack, right?
Heroin, crack.
We're going to go with crack. We're going to stick with crack, and we're going to break it down easy for them, right? We're going to say crack, cocaine. We're going to say cocaine and crack, right? Crack
mm-hmm.
is cocaine, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
You got regular
another form.
Cocaine. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Another form of cocaine is crack. The cheaper
right.
form
now,
of it.
Now, watch this. Now, this came from an official judge, man, a federal state judge. All right, now, he said the cocaine, crack comes from cocaine. Crack holds more value of your incarceration than it does with pure cocaine. Regular crack, if you have 5 grams of crack cocaine, you're doing at least 5 years. They give you a year per gram, I believe it is. You're doing at least 5 years sentencing per every 5 grams. Now, on cocaine, if you just get regular pure cocaine, all you're doing is probably, you might get a slap on the wrist, you might get probation, you might get supervision, you might go to jail for 5 months, and you might even get a year. But you're not doing nowhere near as much as you're doing crack cocaine. You know the difference between regular cocaine and crack cocaine? One is in the high collar, which is kind of changed a little bit. One, cocaine is in the high collar, you know, it's in the blue collar, the corporate America, you know, the Caucasians, the people that works, and you sniff a line. It's supposed to be a party fun tool. Crack cocaine is in housing, projects, south side of Chicago, west side of Chicago. Now they're starting to go north side of Chicago, in the black rural areas. The only difference between cocaine and crack is that crack has baking soda, water, and heat to produce crack cocaine. That's what you put inside of a cake to bake a cake. Why is it the amount you're being charged 500 times the crime rate than it is with just having the possession of just raw pure cocaine? You know what the difference is? Because Caucasians mainly use that one, and the black people mainly use that one. But I'm going to kill you. If we only made 13% of the population, then who used crack cocaine more than black people?
Yep. I say this to you, and it's a revolving door. You said a whole lot. I'm going to say this to you. Slavery is what built this country. Slavery is what is going to sustain this country. Even though a lot of our jobs are outsourced to other countries, slavery is what's going to sustain this country. Because sometimes you have to go back to the roots of things, of what made you who you are. Slavery is what made America who it is. Now, you're in the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s. Incarceration was not that high, especially amongst our people. Not saying we weren't being locked up, but the playing field was more level, because you have to still understand, we were still looked at as three-fifths of a man. We were not even looked at as a whole man. So until the Civil Rights Act of 1965, it was signed in 64. Until it kicked in 65, we were still looked at as three-fifths of a man. So as we started to form more organizations after 65, and understanding that we understood economic strength, we understood political power, our power base started to grow. The United States government decided to annihilate that. Within the drug trade that we have, that was a form of being able to bring back economic strength, because like any other nationality that is here in the United States was able to take a negative and turn it into a positive. The Irish did it. The Italians did it. The Jews did it. They were also gangsters. All of these nationalities, the Greeks did it, took a negative and turned it into a positive, but they were not incarcerated in the numbers that we are incarcerated now as a culture.
Yeah, they said we 90%. We 90%.
Rehabilitation is a fancy word that is used to make the people who are voting feel like it's okay. Instead of calling it a janitor, we're going to call you a custodian. Instead of calling you a secretary, we're going to call you an administrative assistant. Instead of saying that you're guilty and that you have to prove yourself innocent, we're going to flip it and say you're innocent until proven guilty. As Malcolm X once said, you have to read between the lines. What are they really saying? Are you really being rehabilitated? No. Because if I was really being rehabilitated, then when I go into these correctional facilities, you would have job opportunities waiting on me when I get out, as if I went to college. The GED program, now you have to pay for if you are incarcerated now. That is not anything that's just given. You have to pay for the GED, especially if you are in there for murder. You have to pay for your GED. It's not anything that you can just automatically go and start taking courses up. We as a nation, men, have to understand that there have been many slaves that have bought their freedom. You have to learn how to buy your freedom now. You have to educate yourself. You have to say, hey, do I want to put myself in that position? Because don't mistake it one bit, you are a slave. And not only are you a slave, you got to consider what level of slaveship are you on? Everybody's a slave to something. Some to just everyday bills. Some to their wives. Some to their kids. Some to public aid. And when I say public aid, I mean child support. Let's be clear about this. So, but how much of a slave do you want to be? So, at the end of the day, understand, we are still slaves here in America. You are still looked at as three-fifths of a man. You're not looked at as a whole man.
That's crazy too, man. And if you still make up 13%, man, what's really weird about it is that you go part of a man, you make up 13% of the population, but then when you now watch how this pull away from the 13% of the population. When you are a slave to that state, that means that if you get a conscript, you get sent upstate, you are considered part of their population now. Because you have their address, you have their mailing address. When you mail, your mail goes to them. Now your name is taken off of whatever you was at in your area, meaning the city of South Side of Chicago. You're not there no more, and you go to let's just use Stateville. You go to Stateville, and you in Stateville now. Whatever that population is in Stateville, you are considered that one part of that population. Now, as an African American whole, yeah, you still make up for the 13%. But that 13% is really a non-voided to you because you can't do nothing but make up as what you are, African American.
But isn't that like back in the days when slaves were traded, bought and sold? Isn't it similar like it? You was over here on this plantation. Such wants you over here, so you were shipped off to a whole another plantation, separated from your family. But let's be clear about this, though, people. And I don't think we really understand the dynamics of incarceration and how much of a business it is. The penal system is on the stock market. How can a system guarantee a privatized penal system to 90% incarceration? Tupac said it the best, America eats its own baby. They prey upon their own people. No other country has the highest number of incarceration than the United States. The rich are making money off their own people. Bob Barker, the television showman, is making millions of dollars every year off of incarceration. How is he making money? He's facilitating tissue paper, writing paper, pencils, soap, hygienic products. Millions of dollars just off of products being sold. A pack of oodles and noodles on the street is 13 cents, 11 cents. A pack of oodles and noodles in the Cook County Correctional Facility, $1.65, $1.25, depending. Some places it's $2. They're making twice as much money. Your people have to pay more money for something that they only pay 13 cents for in the city, on the street, coming out of Jewel's, Dominic's, all of these. So at the end of the day, it's about the dollar.
You know, it's,
but
you know,
going to contribute. No, go ahead.
Well, I mean, I see what you said. You about to give an answer to it. I know you about to say you about to contribute. Go ahead, man. I'm gonna come right behind that.
Are you going to keep helping Bob Barker to maintain not just the riches of his family, of his immediate family, but his family, his kids, kids, his kids, kids, kids? are you going to keep making that family rich? Now, don't get me wrong. I understand. Hey, you got to go out here and you got to provide for your family. You got to do it the best way you can by any means necessary. You got to go out here and do it. And, hey, you got to go out here and do it. I understand that. When your kid's stomach is touching their back, hey, I understand. You have to provide. I truly do understand that. But at the end of all of this, at the very end of all of this, are you here to serve the system, or is the system here to serve you? And how do you get out of that position? Are you going to remain a slave? Are you going to remain a slave?
Hey, man. Look, man, let me ask you this question here, man. It's crazy because you're looking at the fact of how can you even ask a person that's already slavery that kind of question, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like Harriet Tubman said, I stayed half, I only got more of them, but some of them didn't even know that they were slaves. So, then almost like, if a person, how can you preach something that's in the Bible to a person that don't know the Bible? So, not saying that they don't want to know, but they gotta want to know what it's about. Dude, I'm just not learning, man. With that there, dude, you know what the ACA is? That's the American Correctional Association. Don't you know these people have been around for more than 143 years?
Hmm.
You know what they provide?
Repeat that one more time. Repeat that one more time. They've been around. What? The American Correctional
Celebrating for more than 143 years, global election. Excellence. I'm sorry, global excellence, not just one city. Global means the world. And what they
now
decided,
did you?
Man. Go ahead.
Now, did you know that just because you were sentenced does not mean that you're going to be incarcerated here in the United States? There have been people who have been incarcerated, and they spend majority of their sentences on planes, flying from one country to another. They are not incarcerated here. I know a man to this day, and he said he cannot stand planes because he would not testify on somebody else. They flew him from country to country. He spent majority of his incarceration on a plane. He was not locked up here in the United States. The United States has federal penitentiaries throughout the world. You think you just here? Nope. Throughout the world. That means no hugging your loved ones, no seeing of your child, so on and so forth. The system has been put in place. How do you change the system from within the system?
You can't, man. You can if